I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, April 24th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first week, I guess, that if you're watching Fox News at 8 p.m. or 5 p.m. here in Vancouver, you won't see Bill O'Reilly. Well, you haven't seen Bill O'Reilly for the last week or two because he's been on vacation.
He's been on paid leave, right?
But, I mean, 20 years, he's the biggest name in cable news. And, you know, he had some respectability. I remember one night about 3-4 years ago at the Kennedy Center Honors. It's this big elitist cultural event. You know, the president attends, and he came out, walked out, and, I mean, he said what everybody was thinking, you know, what am I doing here? And he was there introducing Herbie Hancock's presentation. And, you know, I think that was his apex. He had, you know, he had Barack Obama on twice before the Super Bowl. Had Bill O'Reilly, had Donald Trump this year before the Super Bowl. And now he's, I mean, at one point there, you know, they used that line, he was too big to fire. But
at one point.
Yeah, but no, I guess he's out. I mean, did you watch, I mean, I guess we grew up watching him on Inside Edition. Remember that?
You know, and I didn't realize that until I actually, I just saw it in a news clip the other day. Because I did watch a lot of Inside Edition.
Yeah. Remember A Current Affair with Maury Povich?
A Current Affair.
Hard Copy?
I mean, you know, and Hard Copy, of course. Yeah, of course. How could you not? But I didn't realize it at that time. But he's got some pretty heavy allegations against him, right?
Yeah, well, see, most of those allegations, they ended up paying before it went anywhere. So, I mean,
doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, it also doesn't mean that it did happen either. Because, I mean, what happens is, I mean, I could allege that you know, someone did something to me, and then just before we get to court, you know, they have to do that whole discovery thing.
Yeah.
Well, in discovery, everything comes out, right? You can ask about anything. And, I mean, that's how it happened, you know, Monica Lewinsky came out. They were talking about some other thing, and then Monica Lewinsky came out, and then that, you know, how that happened.
And that was part of the discovery.
So O'Reilly and the Fox people decided, you know, to stop some of this. We'll pay some of these, we'll settle out. Mm. And so it's costing the Fox something like, you know, $15, $20 million.
Right.
And I think at some point people said, you know, especially advertisers said that it was. But I mean, for people to think it's a victory over sexual harassment or women or anything like that, I don't think it's that.
No, there's no winners here at all.
Because O'Reilly would still be on the air tonight if the sponsors didn't start walking.
Right.
You know, a month ago.
Well, it comes down to money, right?
Yeah.
From what I see.
And a lot of these allegations have been years old. So, I mean, the fact that it only came about because of money, I think, is the challenging part for all of us.
I'm sure it is.
But yeah, no, people should look up that Inside Edition clip where he doesn't understand. He starts freaking out. He's taping the closed Inside Edition, and he starts freaking out. It's a marvelous two or three minutes or so.
I did see that. You know, because now they're just trying to show all his. I mean, I have not watched a lot of Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So I can't really speak to what his on-air personality is typically like.
Well, he's a thug he's rude and he's, you know, opinionated.
Yeah, I know. I've heard some of the comments he has made. He sounds pretty rude, quite misogynistic, maybe a bit of a bigot. I'm not sure. But
he was rather intolerant of people who had different views than he did, whether that be left wing or right wing or white or black or, you know, Catholic or non-Catholic. I mean, he's a prominent Catholic, so I mean, he's very opinionated about.
So he's
got
opinions about.
Yeah, but even yeah, no, but he was quite rude about it, and so yeah, I think, there are some people obviously that are taking delight that he's gone.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think a lot of people at the Fox building, from what I've heard, did not like him. And I think that goes, I mean, that's a money thing. I mean, if you're on a TV show where your budget is cut, you can't cover the news essentially, but then your company is paying out $15 to $20 million in settlements.
It's like they're,
you know,
that's so. Not, that doesn't make financial sense.
Yeah. So anyway, in other political news, the election is coming up May 9th. Thursday, Bill Good hosted the radio, and it was a bit of a TV debate as well because it was online, and it was they showed it on the news. He hosted the first debate, and then I guess the big debate is this Wednesday night. All the TV stations here in town and will run it. It'll be on the radio and the sort. Jennifer Burke will be coming from Toronto to host it. She did the last one, and so I guess she's
going to
be. So I'm
excited.
You'll be watching, I guess, right?
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. Because up till now, I've not seen Christy in the same room with John and the other candidates.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, any political events, any events that she's been invited to through organizations that I'm aware of, she's declined. I know, actually, my daughter, Simone, the oldest, she said that the candidates in their riding would be coming to their school this week, if I'm correct, to talk to all the students. So it'll be interesting with the information that she comes home with. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the all candidates debate. I want to see how we all know how Christy comes across, but I'm interested to hear what she has to say.
I mean, do you think she'll change her mind? I mean, well, first of all, have you made up your mind?
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. See, I haven't made up my mind yet. And,
yeah, my mind's made.
Yeah. So, I mean, but what if she offers you, like, you know, a unicorn frappuccino or something?
Oh, that's pretty much what she's been giving us for the last how many years. Just, like, the shits and diarrhea is what that actually is. It's poison. And I think that's what the last few years has been like under the Christy Clark regime.
So I've voted ever since, provincially at least, from 2001 up to the last election, NDP. I think I voted NDP 3 times. And then in the last election, I voted Liberal. And then so this time I'm undecided. Now, a lot of people, I gather, voted the same way I did last time. Because, I mean, remember everyone thought that Adrian Dix was going to be the premier? And then he didn't.
Right.
And then he, you know, at the last minute, a lot of people changed their minds and voted Liberal, like I did.
Which is just absurd.
So I because I think it's the median voter, I guess they say, right?
Well, I think, how many of those people do you think are regretting that decision today?
I don't know. Well, the polls tell you not a lot. I mean, the polls tell you that it's neck and neck. So,
I think the polls are absolute garbage.
Yeah, well, the polls were last time. I mean, that's what they said. Adrian Dix was going to win last time, right?
Well, there you go. It's garbage. So let's see.
So, I mean, at this point, it says that he's going to win. So, I mean, he's going to win by 1 point. I mean, some polls say that she's going to win by 1 point. So, there you go. There's the average, right?
Well, I think John Horgan has a good chance. I want to believe he does.
Yeah. Well, at this point, he doesn't have as good a chance as Adrian Dix did this time 4 years ago.
You don't think so?
No, well, the polls suggest that. I mean, he's not... 4 years ago at this time, Adrian Dix was ahead of her. At this point, he's in most of the polls, he's either 1 point ahead or he's 1 point behind her.
I don't know.
So he's not doing as well as Adrian Dix did, and Adrian Dix lost that election. So unless this is like some slow burn that's going to happen after...
I feel like it is.
Just like Trump, right? Trump won.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think John Horgan has a lot of support behind him. And I think there's a high possibility. All I know is that people are fed up with Christy Clark. If not her, her platform or whatever priorities she has, people are tired of it. And I think they're ready for a new government. It's been long enough. So you know, will it be John Horgan? I hope so, but I think at this point, I think British Columbians are probably just ready for any change at this point.
Well, I mean, that's what they said 4 years ago. I mean, we'd gone through, like, what, 10 years of...
4 years ago, but look at what's happened in the last 4 years. The last 4 years, I mean, it's been traumatic as a province. I don't know. I'm sure it actually affects everyone differently, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure it affects you, these changes, a lot differently than me as, you know, single parent with children. I've gone through, you know, I'm dealing with the child care crisis. I'm, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, I'm not having to deal with the housing crisis, but I can imagine.
Or the fentanyl crisis, or the...
Or being on, you know, real welfare.
Estate, yeah.
Or disability, or any of those things where...
the foster home crisis, which is...
you know,
so
like...
So many kids in foster care have been dying.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So, you know, and it doesn't even matter. Even the people of the upper echelons, everyone is affected by it in some shape, way, or form.
Yeah.
Whether it be fentanyl, or the housing crisis, or something. Somebody is dealing with it some way. And that all just really come to a head in the last 4 years, from what I can tell.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people who are undecided, Wednesday night's debate will certainly show us.
Give you some education, yeah.
Yeah, will show us, you know, just... because Horgan didn't do too well in the last debate with Bill Good. I think that affected a lot of people. I mean, the Liberals are having a bad week. Let's not forget last week. Mike DeYoung wasn't doing very well with the economic figures at a press conference. It was being hammered by Mike Smith from the province on that.
Right.
But then the next day, Horgan complains about her touching him, and then that becomes the story. So, I mean, he didn't do too well in the PR game, right?
That's kind of childish.
So,
you know, John, he kind of reminds me of, like, you know, and maybe this is what does it for other people. Like, he's a really regular guy. Like, he seems like a laborer, you know, type guy who works, who's worked his whole life and has a family and just seems really normal. You know?
Yeah, but did you see those Nardwuar interviews? The Nardwuar?
Yeah.
I mean, she
quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, but, you know, they were all good. I mean, Weaver comes off as a dick, and he's always, you know, I mean, he's a pretentious...
What is his deal?
He's a pretentious person anyway. He came off quite well in that interview, but she came off better. I mean, she has real, you know, music cred or whatever.
Sure, but you know what? That can only get you so far. There's lots of people that you can deal with that you're like, okay, you're kind of cool, but I think the decisions you make are messed up. Like you're not super relatable to people and the human elements of people.
Yeah, well,
I need to know more of how
Four years ago, more people connected with her than Adrian Dix.
Maybe they did, and I think now, 4 years later, they're more disconnected. Okay, empathy.
She's running a campaign like Justin Trudeau did, and that won for him.
Her campaign's really sneaky. It's interesting, but I don't know. I think it'll be an interesting debate. An interesting debate, and I can't wait till May 9th to see what people decide. Should be a good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing, too, is, I mean, people got to get out and vote. I mean, it was 55% last time, and
that's just despicable.
That's why we got the government we got.
Yeah, people absolutely need to get out and vote. Ooh, yeah. I really hope, especially, you know, the new voters that have just, you know, get to vote this year for the first time. It's important that they think of their future when they're voting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not like a year and it's done. It's a pretty heavy decision you're making. It's a lot of responsibility being able to vote, I think. So,
yeah,
I hope everyone goes out and vote. There's actually a girl at my work right now who, she's just posting signs everywhere. May 9th, go out and vote. She's hilarious. But I love her for it because, you know, I'm probably not doing as great a job as I should be with that.
You're seeing a lot of signs in your neighborhood?
Not really, you know. Well, actually, for this, my area is Adrian Dick's area, definitely. So we've got signs up, but I think it's very known that he's very heavily supported here.
Mm-hmm.
That's no secret. I actually just walked by his office the other day and saw him. It was his birthday, actually. So
did you go in and have lunch?
I didn't.
I heard he had a big spread there.
I saw that after it. So like I walked right by and then when I was waiting at the light, I saw that it was his birthday and they had a lunch. But it was only for about an hour and a half, and it was already past the time that I had passed there. But yeah, no, he's very approachable, super cool. I really like Adrian Dix. He's helped me out with some issues that my mom's had at her co-op, and very relatable.
Big fan of Renee, his wife. She's a lovely gal.
Yeah, so I've heard great things about her, too, from somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody else was speaking about her. So, yeah, she's lovely, and Adrian's lovely, and I'm glad that he's running to represent our area. I'll vote for him any day.
But you do not think the dating scene in Vancouver is lovely?
Well, God, no. I mean, if there was any kind of ruling that they could put in, maybe. it's painful. It really is. So we've talked about this before, right?
Yeah, and there have been articles, like Van Mag has done
There's
a lot
been
of
articles.
Things.
I mean, just, you know.
About why Vancouver men suck, right?
When's the last time we talked about this? I don't know.
I mean,
update from then. Still single. Have been since. So nothing's changed. it's painful. The selection, I don't even know if it's the selection anymore. I don't, what is it?
Well, here's my thought on all of this. Is the, we talked a moment ago about where the city is, right? And it is largely unaffordable.
It is.
And so the kind of people that you'll have in a city that has a lot of wealth are generally uninteresting.
Right.
Fran Lebowitz says that. You know, I mean, New York has a lot of people coming through, and unfortunately, like most big cities in the world today, the only people that can afford to live in them are the wealthy. Just because they're wealthy doesn't make them interesting.
No, not at all.
And so really. I think that floats down to the dating scene. And I think the sorts of the selections out there are, as you've just attested, not very good.
No, it's not. And it's very, it's unfortunate. And it's frustrating because I feel like, and I'm pretty sure I said this last time, maybe, maybe not, that maybe I need to, leave the city to find a connection somewhere else.
Yeah, and so many people are leaving the city, not just because of love, but because of, you know, economic circumstance.
Yes, economic circumstances. But, you know, like in that article that we were reading,
for people listening, this is Catherine Ashenberg from about 2015 in Van Mag, Vancouver Magazine. The title of the article is Why Vancouver Men Suck. And she interviews, I guess, was it four?
A bunch of women.
Yeah, four, and their experience they've had in terms of the dating scene.
In Vancouver, yes. And so I think, like I said, the most disheartening one for me was the woman in her 60s that's been online dating for the last 25 years. And she's still single.
Yeah.
And from her experiences, it sounds like she's meeting the same kind of guys, prospects that are available in our 20s and or 30s.
But don't you think if you went to another city like Toronto, for example, wouldn't you experience the same thing, though?
No, you want to know something? Like this woman also said in her article, she was saying she should have gone back to, I think she said, Toronto or something, to because there's more Jewish men. And because men I find in New York or just other cities are not intimidated by strong women. I find that there is, in Vancouver, I found that a lot of men are intimidated by strong women. A lot will say that they're not.
So is this in your experience, or is this what other women have also told you?
This is in my experience and what I've heard from others and what I've seen from others as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah. Because, you know, in the environment I'm in, most of the union women that I work with are divorced, separated, or single.
Yeah.
Right? There's maybe one I know of that's been married for, like, over 20-plus years. But it's not very common.
Yeah.
It's a power struggle. And I don't know if it's the same. Maybe we're totally hallucinating. But I think for men, and I don't know, maybe in Vancouver, it's different than any other city, but a lot of women nowadays you'll find can take care of themselves, have their own money, have their own careers, and are very forward-thinking. There's still some men that are still trying to catch up to that.
And
I don't know if that's where the divide is, but it feels like, yeah.
So what do you think it is, then? Is it just the... A lot of the men that you've encountered are not as progressive, say?
Well, the thing is like, the ones, they're either not as progressive or I'm just not meeting them at all.
Hmm.
Like, I rarely get approached by men. If everything's online now, and I just don't trust people's online personalities to, like, pursue that.
So people, you know what I mean? So people don't go to bars anymore and say, meet people, is that right?
Maybe they do. It's not happened to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, I go to bars all the time, or, you know, and I'm usually there to have a beverage, not to meet anyone. But from what I've seen and what I hear around me, people aren't, the people that are, you know, to have their dinner and watch the game or
right,
talk to, you know, business or something like that, but no one's there to meet anybody. And if they are there to meet someone in that sense, it's usually, you know, like a professional situation.
Well, exactly. It's something that they've already, like, arranged.
Yeah, so there's no one saying, oh, hey, you're from around here, right?
Yeah.
No one does that anymore.
Hey, like, you want to have a drink or... Like, I've not seen that happen. And maybe it does. And maybe I'm just not in the right, like, you know, that's kind of like my thing is, like, where should I be? Am I not in the right setting? Do I need to put myself in the better situations? What do we do, Joseph?
Well, I think what people should do is they should tweet you and tell you where to go.
Where
that
should
way,
I go?
Yeah,
yes.
That way people will know where they can direct you. And,
well, it's pretty lame. It's pretty lame out here. And like, you know, I said to you earlier.
Are you going out, by the way? I didn't mean to. Well, I meant to interrupt you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have interrupted you.
Yeah.
Geographically, where are you going to? Are you going, like, into, like, downtown? Or are you going somewhere like the you know, around, say, Burnaby or Richmond or farther east?
I go downtown. When I do go out, it's usually downtown.
Yeah. It's a very different, I mean, you know, you go to the Warehouse or something like that.
Yeah, it's a different crowd.
Than if you go to, like, the bar at the Hotel Georgia or something.
For sure. And that's, you know, like, one of my friends at work was telling me that, and she's older, so she's like, yeah, the hotels is where you need to be. And I suppose, but, you know, the whole dating thing is very strange to me. You know, I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I said, like, in my mind, I'm still like a young girl. I felt like I'd feel offended to date somebody that was almost as old as my mother.
Huh.
But the reality is maybe that's what I need to be doing. Maybe that's like the level that I need to be on.
Well, we'll check in next week and see what you did.
Well, yeah, we'll see where I've ended up.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know.
You might have met Mr. Wright. You know.
Well, exactly. Then I might not be back next weekend. So we'll check in throughout the week.
Yeah. But yeah, you can give your Twitter. It's at Jackie Pierre, right?
Yes, it's at Jackie Pierre. You can find me there and direct me where to go or send me potential matches. That's always nice.
Yeah, recommendations usually are better off than, say, Tinder, right?
Oh, God, please, yes. I'm not Tindering.
Or apps, or other apps. I don't know what other apps there are, but...
Yeah, there's so many now, but... No, if you're a normal person and you know somebody that's sane and, you know, clean, preferably that has a job,
yeah,
you know, send them my way.
There you go.
So... That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, April 24th, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Ponta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.